another thing is because our dad was in business,
mm-hmm.
Most of us, you know, are business minded. Stafford is, Livy is, and so am I. So in that sense, we may not know exactly why, but we're in that direction. Like, for instance, my dad used to count with this, count his dollar bills with his left hand.
Huh?
Yeah, my dad used to count his dollar bills because at night he used to count dollar bills from the store.
Mm-hmm.
And when I count, I never count with my right hand, I count with my left hand.
Oh, really?
Because, oh, I see, going that way.
I count my dollars with my left hand.
Why is that?
No, because my dad count with his left hand.
Yeah,
I just watch him,
right.
I just do it.
You see, they have the... I've never had to, they never let me count the money.
You, at least you saw it, but I didn't even see it.
I didn't
at
get
all.
To see it. I was not involved in that. Anytime they want something moved or anything, I was available.
Now, turning around another way, the maintenance, let's say, of the Chinese heritage in the family, were you folks asked or directed to go to Chinese school, for example?
We went to Chinese school.
We were directed. We were directed. In fact, that was one of the things that they were very reluctant, you know, let me go off for sports.
Took your time away, huh? But that's high school already. They expected you to go to Chinese school even at the
high school
level?
Yeah. We went through junior high school and that was it.
Wow.
That was it. Oh yeah, we had, went through sixth grade.
So which schools did you actually go through?
Zhonghua Hao Kao.
On Crocker.
Well, we were in Old Chinatown, went to Zhonghua Hao Kao.
Yeah, but then we went to Crocker Street, there was one on the corner.
Right on the corner on Crocker and...
Tom Sinsang was one of
is
the...
Is that
that's Frank. Maybe we were doing things, Tom Sinsang.
Yeah, the...
Have you did one on...
Yeah, I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, who was a tyrant, wasn't he? Was that? That's a song, but...
It was a Kipong town, I think.
There was one on New High Street.
You have that?
What was the name of that one? On New High, or was it the Spring or New High?
It wasn't New High. It was near the fire station, I remember. They had
a
Chinese
that's
school.
A Zhonghua Hao. That was
but there was also one on Spring Street.
There might have
behind a church. They used to be a church.
That was after they tore down the other one. It really went down to about 10th Street.
No, but
in
after
the corner.
That.
No, then later on when people start moving up, then that one started for a very interim time.
Then
we had the
Chinese Catholic Center.
Yeah, the Catholic, they wanted to indoctrinate the Chinese, so they said, we furnish you the facility.
On. That's not
when
so
they, when they, started that, they indoctrinated half of the Chinese group up there.
Did you come down here?
They baptized half the Chinese group? Is that what
that went
church.
In there, yeah.
Well, what do you expect when you go to church?
It wasn't really supposed to be church. You went there Wednesday to utilize the facility.
Okay, but then
but
if you...
But let's see, the thing was that they allowed us to use the facility, but they're saying out of one day in a week, on Wednesday, we want to come in and talk to the people about our religion.
Uh-huh.
Based on that, half the people that was in that school became Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Catholic Center?
Yeah, Catholic Center, mm-hmm. Yeah. They did very well, but they had a very good, what I consider, you know, question and answering service.
Who spoke to you? Was it a Chinese priest?
Father Cowick.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Father
Cowick. Caucasian priest?
Caucasian priest.
Mm-hmm.
Irish.
Mm-hmm.
But a very good person, you know, mm-hmm. But he basically believes in, you know, Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
And what's your acceptance of that? Mm-hmm.
I became a Catholic.
Uh-huh. So how long were you in Chinese Catholic center school? Yeah.
Well, I was there for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So how many students were there in, say, Crocker Street Chinese school? Is that quite a lot of attention.
It was upstairs and downstairs. Okay,
I would say close to at least 80 people.
Oh.
80 to 100
large
people.
School.
So large.
Different
yeah.
levels.
Oh, yeah.
There must have been several teachers then, actually, at Crocker Street School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, I would think it'd be with that. It's a big building, too. It was a big thing. It had about, I would say, 80 to, at least 80.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think.
Do you all remember the Crocker Street life over there when
sure.
you were a kid?
Yeah.
Everyone became a ping pong expert.
Ping pong expert, rubber gun, right? Rubber gun, because there was a wood shop, or they would make wood box, okay?
Uh-huh.
And out of those, we used to have these rubber bands, and we make that into rubber gun. You know what we used to have out of it? Zip gun. You know that? Kick the can out
and
there.
You play in the streets down there? Because some of those streets do seem a little cloistered.
Yes, but if you don't have any cars, do you worry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, you know, if you see a car come by, it's nothing.
Just get off.
And the weather there in those days is different than here. In those days, you can sit outside, look up, see the stars. It's beautiful. You can see the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Pretty small days.
The smogless.
The smogless days. Yeah.
Wow.
And we used to talk about the stars. 20th century rocket ships, remember? Flash Gordon days? We used to go to movies at walk from there all the way down to about 3rd and Main Street. Or Spring Street.
Right?
There was a theater there that you bought a ticket. 5 cents or 10 cents?
5 cents.
5 cents. And you would go there from about 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock. If you go Sunday, you get a free ticket for next Sunday.
And that's where the Crocker Street kids used to go, and the name of the theater was Lyceum.
Lyceum Theater.
And another one that we went to was the Banner.
Banner. That was too expensive. 10 cents. So I had to go to the 5 cents.
Los Angeles Public Preservation.
Did you go as a group, like in our whole neighborhood?
About maybe
kids?
Five of us, six of us. Would
well, that's a long walk.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
LA blocks a long block.
Did I get to go?
No.
They said no, so I guess I
boys only?
It's boys only. We didn't bring the girls.
Well, you mentioned the idea of discrimination. I remember my I asked my dad, can we go out to some restaurant out there? And he said, we can't go because they won't let us in.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently there was this discrimination against Chinese in the early 30s. And I remember as a teenager, there was a private swimming
Bimini.
Was it? And they don't allow Chinese into the swimming pool.
Oh.
So.
This is about 40.
In the 40s. Yeah.
About 44, 45. 40, it was in junior high school. When I got to high school, they finally started letting in because we were tearing up the place. They didn't let us in.
Another thing.
Acceptability started changing. Right
growing up
there.
As a Chinese during the Sino-Japanese War, because of the relocation and so forth, the Chinese kids were sometimes, well, are you Chinese or are you Japanese?
Mm-hmm.
So we would have little buttons that I'm Chinese.
That was after the war.
That was before.
During the war.
Before the war.
They said I'm Chinese, they just had a flag, China.
China.
When they were trying to relocate the Japanese outside.
Remembering that, there was a lot of fundraising activity in the community with regard to China. Do you have any recollections of
the only
your
recollection
dad or
I
yourselves
have
getting involved with that?
Was tearing off tin foils from cigarettes package and making them little balls and what for China or something?
Yeah, so they can melt it down. For
melt
red,
it down.
For bowl,
that's all I remember.
There was there was one fundraising that we attended, if you remember, when Tohen Gai came out.
Uh-huh.
Tohen Gai.
That was one of the generals.
That was one of the generals that captured Chiang Kai-shek.
Oh, Choi Teng Ga.
Choi Teng, yeah.
Okay,
that's
I'm sorry.
General Choi.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the thing with the plaque, right, that you have. Okay, that's a different
plaque. This one is...
You remember the plaque in my office?
Yeah. Hold on, let me think.
Okay.
We're talking about fundraising,
uh-huh,
right?
Okay.
When I guess at that time he wanted Chiang Kai-shek to unite instead of fighting the communists, let's unite and let's fight against the Japanese.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I guess he created a bunch of hassle when he came in here to the United States because all the people said, why Chinese fight Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was certain rationale he wanted to unify China, but you can't fight on two ends.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that fundraising, and I think we have a fundraising picture. You can see my dad and all the dignitaries,
uh-huh,
and then you can see Lily, myself, Stanton,
and that's the one I remember
okay.
going to.
And
I
that was a fundraising, and that's a unification. And I think it's in one of these pictures here.
Oh,
is that right?
Okay.
I don't know which one. It's in one of these. That was
he has a lot of pictures.
Coming back also to your dad, did he have a very strong involvement in the planning of New Chinatown, even though, as you indicated, you were one of the last groups to get in? But there was apparently several meetings that took place in Old Chinatown thinking about this, led mostly by Peter Suvu. Was your dad involved a lot in that?
I don't think very much involved into it. He was, getting the group together, saying, hey, we agree that we will move out. Okay. But Peter Suvu was more younger, I think more dynamic.
Probably spoke English and was involved in more.
Well, the planning, when you're talking about, my dad at that time was living in his 50s already. So, a lot of the things to move, the development and things might have been still beyond. I don't think it was beyond his capability, but I think other people were more instrumental. His factor was saying, we will move up there, we will move up as a community.
But he definitely did support the effort toward New Chinatown as opposed to any of the other efforts that were kicking around.
Yeah, there was this China City group, and then I guess they're saying that it was a Mexican lady that was wanting to get that going. And my dad said he didn't trust her at all. And he wanted to say, yes, we will move up to Chinatown. But the group did split off to China City, where I guess he said there was not much development.
Was there a lot of discussion at the time within the community about that?
Oh, yeah.
There was a split, wasn't
there? There was a split.
Something like
that. Well,
in China City, where some other faction that
the thing that was very difficult there was Mr. Lapham was saying that, well, I'm getting to develop you a nice area where you can expand. The growth, the potential. Okay. And to get the Chinese to move up there, we're saying that I think the Union Station put in a certain amount of dollars to do that. Okay. I think there was another faction says, well, let's make it in China City, and I guess they want to build up this closer to you, we can do a lot of things for you. But there was no growth in there. You're limited in how far you can go.
Yeah, that's right.
Even now, the Chinatown growing up so much. And my dad supported the new Chinatown area. Okay. Of course, other factions said, well, we'll go here, it doesn't cost as much. I don't know all the financial detail. All I know that my dad said he wanted to go to New Chinatown.
The only thing is that you did mention that your father did sort of organize people say, yes, we will support, we will move out. Was there a resistance of moving out of Old Chinatown?
I think you always find out resistance in moving out.
Was that very
choice?
We
have to move.
Well, I think there's some people that may not want to sell, and you could have started a lot of trouble if you had to sell because they forced you. In real life they may have not been. But I think the Union Station, when you come in and you're going to move a bunch of people out, you want the people to move out, without them creating a lot of hostility. So there's no question, I think you would have to go one way or the other, but at least they said that we got a new place for you, which they did. It was definitely an advantage in leaving.
May I change the subject to your youth when you're talking about Maya? Can you talk more about the activities there, the Chinese celebration there, or just for the kids play around there?
Well, Maya is more like
a
playground. The playground was such that I kind of remember there was horses there too, right? Horses, and there was a playground where you can go out playing, but there's a certain time that you don't want to play there. I know that there was a time when you play there in the daytime, nighttime, you better come back.
Why is that?
I don't know why the reason whether they
you
want to
remember.
Stop. I was too small then. I was about up to four.
You remember?
We're just young then, when it gets dark, you go back in.
Whether there was ghosts around there or whatever, you come home.
But I remember when we were at Crocker Street, there used to be games, baseball games or something between Crocker Street and the people in Chinatown.
We had, there was some games between the, between 10th Street and 21st Street.
Oh, I see. The other Chinese.
And then when we moved into New Chinatown, then we started developing a New Chinatown group against the 10th Street or 21st Street. I see. But the, you know, once we moved out of Chinatown, at those days, Union Station was there.
I see.
So I think that was a kind of chronology of thing.
Again, as a youth, you mentioned about your work in the restaurants and contributing economically to the family. Now that was very significant. Was that very common among other Chinese family? Like when you worked in the restaurant, were there other Chinese kids like your age working?
I think everybody was working.
Mm-hmm. What type of work?
Whenever they hire you at 12 or 13, what are you going to do? You know, you can't move the world. You're able to, you know, clear off tables, you can help in the kitchen. And various other things. The reason for it is that the restaurant was very busy those days.
Mm-hmm.
Limited amount of restaurants, people were getting money coming out of depression.
Yeah, that's because they had the war going on.
Uh-huh.
It was hard to hire help.
Uh-huh.
It's cheap too when you hire kids, right? And then they had lines of people just coming. They would stand in line, wait about half an hour to an hour just to go into a restaurant.
This is the young girl.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
All the restaurants.
The young girl was one of them.
The Chinese restaurants were very popular at that time.
Oh,
there
was
that many. It was only three or four at that time,
yeah,
just that one street. So they still have young girl, Manjin Lo,
All the restaurants were
made
tourists.
Young girl was one that had the most.
They had the most. Young girl always had a line.
Because they had some kind of write-up, I think.
I see.
So they're well known.
So most of the customers are tourists, or all of them are?
Well, when it is tourists, I would say they're local people coming out to dinner.
Non-Chinese.
Yeah, what happens that during the war years, there was a lot of factories there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into China to kind of spend it.
Oh.
And they kind of built up community, and that's from there the community started growing.
We understand you all go ahead have the kitchen and the window, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that one of the big attractions or something?
No.
The open window that people can
that
look
too.
In.
Yeah.
Cooking.
That plus the right up.
When I think of looking, as you walk into the
on
place,
the, right
the kitchen,
side.
As
on
you
the
walk in, the kitchen was to the right, where you can see it, but it's not a window per se.
Oh,
if you're from the outside, you wouldn't be able to see the
window. I see. You have to walk.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's not the usual thing now. It's just probably in the initial stage, you know, where you really think
kitchen.
About having the kitchen.
Kitchen
the kitchen
right
was just
the
there.
Entrance.
Yes,
yeah,
the kitchen, in the entrance where you can, they pass you through the kitchen.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, like you worked there probably around late 30s, and, early 40s, or something like that. How many people worked in Yihongbei? We just try to get an idea, how big the restaurant was at that time.
It's not a big restaurant, I think.
Small.
Well, it's a big restaurant in those days. It's small now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're talking trends from now.
Yeah,
you're talking about business.
Let's say if you think of the kitchen area, I think they had about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 6 walls.
Uh-huh.
No, 6 walls.
That's pretty big.
Uh-huh.
And then they have, they have within that walk, they have about 4 cooks.
Uh-huh.
And then plus your deep fry. And
uh-huh.
So they moved a lot of food there.
How many tables?
Not that many tables.
But that's the reason
why
they
had
to wait.
They had three layers. Okay, they had three. They had a triple deck.
Four.
Double, isn't it?
Well, they got
that's
no,
three.
No. They had
two.
Three deck.
How can it be three?
Because
decks?
I worked on the third deck every now and then.
It must be kind of like a little balcony.
A little balcony.
Up.
It's
maybe
a very small balcony.
Not a real, not
yeah, it's
real
probably two
stories.
Levels in the one area.
Yeah, a little
sort of
like
one,
a mezzanine
one
or something.
Step.
Well, whatever it was when you were, when we were kids, it was three levels running up and down.
To go all the way up.
Mezzanine. A mezzanine at the top, yeah. Maybe what you call a mezzanine.
Two story.
Well, if you were running up and down, there's three levels of people sitting there.
What other type of job you would do? Is that working in the
restaurant?
Or
just
you work
at
a
store.
Store.
You know, in those days, you didn't move out of Chinatown. You just find what was available.
And there was work available.
How much were you paid as a busboy or waiter?
Oh, for
you
can tell.
25 cents an hour.
25 cents an hour.
Yep. I got a raise up to 30 cents an hour.
Don't sweat minimum wage.
Uh-huh.
They were making tons of money.
Is that right?
25 cents an hour. But just remember,
they paid 25 cents.
We start with 30. But just remember, with that 25 cents, we used to go to movies for 10 cents,
mm-hmm.
10, 15 cents. When we went to when we were kids, Stanton and I and Lily, And Lily didn't never really join us, but we used to go to movies for a nickel, and Nickel would get us a root beer and a hot dog on the way back. Remember those days?
A whole dime.
A hot dog and a root beer. I remember
this
that.
This thing about a teenager, when we were in junior high school, you used to get a double-decker hamburger for, what, 15 cents, 10 cents?
I know. I couldn't afford that, you know. That's the richer people. But those are the good old days where you can buy a
and
lot.
And Lily was working as a selling gardenia.
Yeah, gardenia nice.
You get to that.
The same time.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was working, in a sense, you know.
Yeah, here Mrs. Mew just mentioned that she works in Yixintong.
Mm-hmm.
Just across the street,
oh.
Cashier.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about Yixintong's business at that time? We just want to get all the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, have you heard this before? And they get the
no.
Oh, come on!
Tell them the owner.
The owner of Yixintong.
We never got the food. You know, the story of what was really there and why it was so interesting and why it was so famous.
Yeah,
we
heard about the
name,
but not the actual. Yeah,
but
not the actual.
Yixintong is another one. We know it was the first grocery store in New Chinatown. The only grocery store.
Very close.
Okay,
who first, Stanford or Jamie? Stanford, go ahead.
What? Somebody? The owner?
About Wa Sao Pa.
Oh, God.
He's Mr. Lee, you know. He's also a Chiang Kai-shek. He's a real strange type of man. And it seemed like not too many people liked him. He'd be always mouthing out and off and that. Nobody liked him. Why did he worry?
He had a name for everybody.
Everybody that came in the store had a
nickname.
You don't want a nickname, don't come into the store.
Who gets Stanford's nickname?
Even he has a nickname from him.
Oh.
So that store's been there a long time, and at that time, they did a lot of restaurant, business, and then also...
Inside the store there was a restaurant?
They sell to restaurants.
Oh, they sell to restaurants.
Yeah, they sell to restaurants. They had about two or three trucks in those days. Which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about, let's see how many people working there. He and this other fellow worked at the meat department.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about three or four in the grocery.
Uh-huh.
And in the cashier and a couple of people. That was about it.
The size of
was that pretty large for Chinese?
Well, in those
time?
Days,
that was
one
of the biggest.
It wasn't really a big grocery store. It was quite small.
But
uh-huh.
It's bigger than all the rest of the grocery stores that they had
it,
at that time.
Yeah, there wasn't that many grocery stores. In fact,
but
I think he was about one of the only ones there.
He would.
There wasn't any other grocery store other than Yixintong.
Yeah.
So
tell us the names that he gave us.
Well, I want to give him the personality,
okay.
Person, all right? He was, he's a fellow that, kind of an eccentric guy. But he had wealth compared to the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, here I am, there you are. He would never let you forget this. A couple of things, when we were growing up, running around there, of course, I don't think we're terribly wild, but we used to run around a lot in Chinatown. Well, normally when you buy something from them, you're saying, well, I'm buying for you because we need it. I used to pick up fongo every Sunday morning. You come there a certain hour to pick it up. And my biggest running with him was that when he cuts it off, he gave us all the fatty parts.
Yeah.
Because we're still at that time really struggling. And he chops it off, and nobody ever says anything. You accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of made a remark.
Me.
I said,
I
you mean the owner is the guy that was doing
the
chopping.
And he would give
just
you the
oh me
yeah. And he was the type of person that would always say derogatory remarks. Here you are again. Here I was a customer, right?
Uh-huh.
Even those days when I was a young kid. Hey, we can't eat all that fat meat. I said, my mother would never accept this type of thing. Oh, that's good enough. I don't want it. Well, that upset him so bad.
Uh-huh.
And so what was your name?
I don't know, some sort of wolf.
Oh, you know what they call him? Sao Sai Long.
Sao Sai Long, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Wild wolf?
No, Sao Sai Long is somebody that comes, you have all your laundry up.
Oh, I would take
and
a collect.
I
have, talking about that, we have never taken anything from this place or anything.
Mm-hmm.
When we used to run with Peter Suhu around Chinatown, we had our own things,
Right.
Stealing was not our bag, but he would make all kinds of remarks.
He liked Stanton.
He liked
had a good name. What was your name?
I don't remember.
I remember him liking Frank and Stanton.
Well, he always would play one against the other, you know. But he didn't like the way I kind of made some comments on it.
Because you would probably talk back or make comments or something, and Stanton probably just quiet.
Quiet and accept it. Well, I think, you know, to accept things like that, you know, absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He was that type of person. If he think he's one level above you, he would give you all the trashy stuff, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was from a...
But he did business mostly with Chinese, right? And non-Chinese would not go there and shop or...
Most of them were Chinese. I would say 98% Chinese.
Uh-huh.
But the Chinese from Crocker Street didn't come all the way up.
No.
They have their own stores, right?
Yeah. They have the grocery store.
Well, he was in a good position. Because
around 9th Street
there.
He
was there.
The
only person there with the
grocery
stores.
He
was at the right place.
The Tom Wenchenlo.
And then after the war.
Wenchenlo, ran a grocery store.
And I went to Jack Lee.
Oh, they still have
it. Jack used to work for him. Jack and I used to work together.
I see.
He was an employee then. After the war, he came by and he bought the store from him. And then he built it up and he opened this
new one.
To get the color from, you should get to Jack. Jack could talk to him about it.
Jack, don't want to say nice things about him.
We actually talked to him, and he said that we'll talk to him later because he came in like after World War II. And our emphasis
Jack Lee is still active.
Before
World
War II.
Until,
right. That's a neat story.
Yi Sheng Cheung moved also up from Old Chinatown, is that right? It used to be an Old Chinatown?
Uh-huh. One of these. George told me it was right here.
George saw it and mentioned it?
Yeah, where is it? Oh, here. This is the one? No, this isn't the picture.
What?
It's on what street?
On the Goldfinger?
Where Chui Fa Lao? Where's the one with Chui Fa Lao?
Across the street from Chui Fa Lao.
Oh, I saw the street from Chui Fa Lao.
On Alameda?
Here we are.
Right here.
Is that it right there?
Is that right? And that's General Lee.
Oh, they got different name of the company, though.
George is right across the street from
this is Tui Fa Lao.
That's Tui Fa Lao.
And this is...
That's a different name, honey.
It always said a drugstore,
right,
but he says,
is
that right?
The next one in there.
Maybe it's up there a little way.
The next one in there.
Okay.
This is right across there is Yi Sheng Cheung. That's what George just told me.
Uh-huh.
And Chui Fa Lao is right down the street, and you guys just think about this.
Chui Fa Lao is on the corner.
Yes.
Yeah, right here. Chui Fa Lao.
That was about a three-story. I always remember Peanuts. Remember Peanuts? Used to sell Peanuts?
Talking about Peanuts. Is that a special story? Because everybody talking about
Tell
Peanuts.
Tell us a little bit about Peanuts.
Oh, I remember as a real
Who's
short
peanut?
Fella.
Because
he's always go to Chui Fa Lao and go around there sell candy and so forth or something. And he always sell Peanuts. And maybe that's why his name is Peanuts.
I heard he was in the movies, too.
Yeah, he was in the movie.
I don't remember him.
Was he a character, or is it just his size and what he did that
I
made
think
everybody
remember
him?
I don't know why
him.
He called Peanut, but everyone knows him as Peanut.
But
I
know
he
thought
of selling peanuts.
Uh-huh.
And that was a
nickname. I see.
Haven't talked much about your mom. How's her influence upon your whole family, as you remember it, you know, as kids?
I remember her as the strong, stable one.
Disinventarian.
She really. I think she was the oldest one in her family. And my dad was about in the 40s when she married my mother.
Oh,
my
I see.
Mother was only 18 or 19 years old when they came over. And
from the same village or how was the marriage arranged? Would you know?
I think he knew her from somewhere. It was Muskin. Saw some pictures, maybe some.
Arranged.
I think as arranged.
Was it an arranged marriage?
It was an arranged marriage. But she was the strong one in the family.
Did she handle financial business for the family, or she doesn't have that?
No.
Wait a minute.
Where's the end? You have to think of before you
I'm thinking. I'm saying that, Lily. Mom used to have very good control of the money when Papa was alive.
She couldn't picked up every nickel and dime around
that. All around. She controlled the money.
Did your father give her the money after he had collected it? How did?
Better double check with that.
I really don't know. Uh-huh. I remember she's very money conscious because when my dad used to take a nap on the sofa,
and
usually have some extra money, she'd always go around and.
Interesting.
And she would save the extra money from working in the movies, you know, to be sure everything would, you know.
Oh, she managed that money.
She managed all
the
money.
In the safe at Pooh House. She was very seldom there. Mm. I think what money you saw was what was given to her as
no. Mom used to, every now and then, went up there to
no,
New Village.
Not it went in the safe. Mm.
I think what money she had coming to her, she managed it well, I think.
Uh-huh. How about in family decision, you know, if she has much to say, like, for example, probably you wouldn't know because you were a kid, but then do you have the feeling that, for example, going to school or that she has much influence on you or put on the emphasis thing? Besides your father?
I think she provided the atmosphere that we could study. Where some parents couldn't say, you know, you have to do this work and do this work, and I guess we're
right.
Going to study.
She didn't force you to work rather than study. She gave you that study time.